This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. More than 40 new laws are going into effect on December 1st in North Carolina. They include laws that would increase penalties for those who endanger children, including one that would double prison terms for certain types of abuse. There are other crimes for which the penalties have been reduced. Here to tell us about the news and the new laws is Gary Robertson. He's a North Carolina politics reporter for the Associated Press. Welcome, Gary.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks, Frank.
Give us an overview of what kinds of laws we're looking at.
Well, I think part of the discussion is why are they starting on December 1st? And these are primarily criminal laws. And the question is, why would they start on December 1st? One is that legislators believe, and law enforcement wants time to figure out how these laws are going to be carried out, what the details are. And also, I think there's a sense that, you know, you don't want to start these laws on January 1st, where it's the new year and there's some transition time. So this is kind of a happy medium. Most of these laws, again, are criminal related. You mentioned a couple, a few that are focused on children. One is a law that's named after a Concord toddler who was severely beaten, according to police. And there's a sense that the suspect in that may not be able to get the type of sentence that the victim's family or even prosecutors believe is proper. So that's named after Kyla Davenport, and it's called Kyla's Law, and you mentioned it's going to increase some penalties for child abuse. There's also one named after, as you remember, the Kaylee Anthony case in Florida, and we're kind of maybe late getting to the discussion here, but there was a backstory on that in terms of why the delay happened. But this is designed to require parents and even people in the community to alert police when a child is missing or they believe there's some suspicion that that mayhem has occurred and trauma has happened to that child. There's also minimum fines now for people who cross. Who go past school buses when they're dropping off children or picking them up and the flashing lights are on. That's now a minimum $500 fine. And we also have some meth-related crime that says you'll get a higher sentence if you manufacture meth in the presence of a child or an elderly person.
All right, well, let's go back a little bit. One of the laws, as you said, makes it a crime now not to report a child, not to report to police a missing child if you haven't done that in more than 24 hours. Give us the backstory. Tell us about the Florida case this is based on.
Well, this is, again, Kaylee Anthony. This is a Florida girl who was basically missing for a month before apparently police says that her mother alerted them about it. If you remember, the mother was ultimately acquitted of murder in her daughter's death, but then faced punishment related to the investigation. And there's a sense that parents have a responsibility to tell law enforcement that something wrong has happened. We've had some other cases in North Carolina where something similar to this has occurred. I talked to one of the bill sponsors who said part of the reason for the delay was to focus on making sure that people in the community who see potential wrongdoing don't face unnecessary criminal or civil liability if they somehow maybe thought that something was going on and it didn't happen, or that they were just a few days late to actually telling police about it. They try to find a happy medium there.
Talk again now about the laws regarding passing a school bus with the flashers passing. You say there's a $500 minimum fine. Was there a fine before this?
Actually, off the top of my head, I can't remember. What I do remember is that I think in some cases they, if I'm not mistaken, in some cases there was potentially not a fine, or the fine was so low it wasn't deemed to be punitive. But we've had just a number of these cases over the years, and it's really stirred up legislators to respond and to make it tougher. In fact, we had a former House member whose son died in a similar school bus accident, and it led to changes. But it can reach if the punishment if the crime leads to the death of a child, if passing a stopped school bus leads to the death of a child, that's a $2,500 fine in addition to any other criminal potential punishments not related to fines.
And it will also be a felony for drivers who are involved in accidents with pedestrians if the pedestrian is a child. Is that any pedestrian, or again, are we talking about passing a school bus?
I believe it's only related to children. But of course, I think if they hit an adult, there would be potential penalties there. There was a sense that people, that the punishment wasn't fitting the crime, and that I hear from legislators for years saying they see people in their communities passing school buses, even though the lights are on, the stop sign's out, and it can lead to tragedy, as some of them have felt firsthand.
All right. Well, now we're talking about increases in penalties for these crimes, but there were a number of misdemeanors that will actually become less punitive. Tell us about those.
Yeah, it's really interesting because in the legislature is known for let's get tough on crime, let's boost up penalties. But in this case, it seems that cost savings was part of this, and also just some discussion over the past several years where there are some people in the legislature who think there are too many things that are subject to criminal penalties or potentially probation or suspended sentence or jail time. So this idea has been, hit around for the last few years. Should we reduce some misdemeanors to infractions? Now, if you remember, listeners remember, we have a grid that for felonies and misdemeanors where a judge is within some parameters about what the crime, if you have a certain crime, what is the punishment? And so this year they decided that the legislature decided in their budget bill to take about 25 crimes that were either middle grade misdemeanors or low grade misdemeanors and reduce them by one rung, basically. Some became an infraction, which in and of itself is not a criminal act, it is a monetary penalty usually. But they also decided that with these low grade misdemeanors, the lowest grade misdemeanors, there would be no chance for suspended sentence or intense probation or anything like that unless you're convicted on four separate occasions. And so what is the result of this? Well, one of the results is that there's going to be $2 million less for the Office of Indigent Defense Services. This is the group that provides court-appointed attorneys to defendants. And part of that is because the Supreme the courts have said that unless you're facing a potential time behind bars or incarceration, you're not. That's the only reason why you would have a court-appointed attorney. So now, in many cases, many more cases, there won't be a need for one.
What are some of the infractions now that have, or some of the crimes, former misdemeanors, that will become infractions?
Well, I can tell you though that in particular there, I can tell you about some middle grade misdemeanors that are now going to become the lowest grade misdemeanor. And that includes something like speeding more than 15 miles per hour over the posted speed limit or going excess of 80 miles per hour. Things like fishing without a license. Failure to obtain a license while driving a motor vehicle, and certain low denomination levels of worthless checks. And so those people who potentially could have faced, but it's unlikely, could have faced some kind of suspended sentence or probation now will probably see something akin to a $200 fine. It's interesting because I talked to the Office of Indigent Defense Services late last week. And they mentioned if some of these penalties only should be fines, why not make all of them infractions? Infractions are different because they're not necessarily criminal acts, and therefore it's not on your record. And so why go to the trouble of potentially requiring potentially giving somebody a misdemeanor if the legislature believes that it's still only worthy of a fine? There's also some discussion about judges in these situations. How are they going to know when somebody comes before them whether they need a court-appointed attorney or not? They won't know the criminal record right away of the person, and there's potential for changing in sentences or changing in counts in which they're accused of. And that, so that's going to be some things that they're going to have to work through in the months ahead.
So interestingly enough, if you lower the grade of a misdemeanor from the higher rung to the lower rung, you would no longer be eligible for free legal help if you qualified by income, but you still might end up with a misdemeanor on your record. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. That's right. So there's a question of, again, if the legislature believes that these are only they're so serious that only a fine is required, the idea is, well then why should these people face the potential of having a criminal record if the legislature only believes that its only value is you know, sending somebody on their way with a couple $100 fine?
All right, Gary, thank you very much for talking with us.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Gary Robertson, North Carolina politics reporter for the Associated Press. Just ahead, we're going to take a look at the state of textiles in North Carolina on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.